It gives me a great deal of pleasure to have the honor of welcoming this evening the Reverend Alvin V. Coleman, President of the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Tomorrow morning, President Coleman will become Dr. Coleman when our sister institution in St. Paul, Minnesota, awards him the honorary Doctor of Letters degree in recognition of his services to the church as pastor and administrator. Many fine things could be said about this Christian pastor, this gentleman, this faithful shepherd of his flock, but the only one I'm going to emphasize tonight is that tonight he stands before you not only as a pastor and president, but also as the proud father of one of this year's graduates. God's blessings upon your message to us, President Coleman.
Thank you, Dr. Bowman. President Bowman, members of the faculty, members of the Board of Control of Concordia Seminary, honored guests, friends and relatives, and especially you, the members of this graduating class of Concordia Seminary of 1981. This is indeed a great honor and a great privilege that has been bestowed upon me this evening to be able to speak to you at these commencement exercises. I'm sure that some of you, and I know this would be true of a number of you pastors, have had times when there are certain functions that you would really like the opportunity to speak at. And so, of course, when I realized that my son was going to be in the graduating class this evening, my son Victor, and also that there was just the outside chance that I might have that possibility of being a commencement speaker, I was sort of hoping and praying that that would be the case. So you can imagine my joy and my surprise then when several weeks ago, President Bowman called me and asked me if I would be willing to serve as the speaker for the commencement exercises this evening. Now, I didn't really want to be disrespectful to Dr. Bowman, and so as I quickly and readily accepted the invitation, in the back of my mind was flashing that old cliche, "I thought you'd never ask." 27 years ago, I sat where you graduates are sitting here in this quad, and I was just like you, very happy that my many years of preparation were over, very anxious and very eager to get out into ministry itself. And so it is indeed a great privilege to be able to address you this evening. I'd like to share with you a few words as you are finishing up your work here at the seminary, that now you are looking forward to going out into those places and parishes to which you have been assigned and called, or in the case of some of you, to continue your studies here at the seminary or elsewhere. And I would like to offer you what I hope would be some words of encouragement and inspiration under the general theme, ministry, gifts, and joy. Because you see, that's exactly what ministry is. It is an opportunity for service in God's kingdom. It is a gift from God himself, and it is joy. Joy that is unexcelled and unsurpassed. When you think of ministry as being a gift from God, there are many passages in Holy Scripture that immediately come to mind. One of them, of course, would be that very beautiful and very familiar passage from John 15, 16, where the Lord, in speaking to his disciples and to us, his followers of today, says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide." Or think, for example, of those men of God in, of olden times who received a specific call from God to go into ministry. Take, for example, the great prophet Jeremiah. The Lord God spoke to Jeremiah, and he said to him, "Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Or think of the prophet Isaiah, who tells us about the vision that he had, in which he heard the voice of the Lord God saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And he answered, "Here am I, send me." And the Lord said, go. Or think of that scene when the risen and resurrected Lord appeared to those disciples in that closed upper room there in Jerusalem on the evening of that first Easter day. He entered that room and he said to them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And so the scriptures are filled with many of those beautiful passages that remind us that ministry is a gift from God. He is the one who does the calling. And the Apostle Paul sums it up very beautifully when he says, then we are therefore ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Ministry is indeed a gift from God himself. And so the question that you young men need to ask yourself this evening then is, how did it happen that God chose me to enter into the office of the Holy Ministry? And I'm sure as you reflect upon it for a few moments, you will realize that there were many different ways in which God probably approached you. It may have been the case, like it was for me and also for my son, that we just couldn't remember a time from early childhood on when we didn't have that desire to be a pastor. Or for some of you, it may have been a situation where your parents, or maybe the influence of a Christian pastor or teacher or some other dedicated Christian, was instrumental in leading you into the office of the Holy Ministry. Or it may have been some special experience that you had in life. But you are more aware of those situations than I am. One thing is sure, and that is that all of you assembled here this evening have that conviction, and you would say it in unhesitating terms, I have the conviction that God has called me into the office of the Holy Ministry. And yet at the same time, we want to be sure that that feeling that we have is more than just some sort of an emotion. We want to be sure that we are also qualified for that position of ministry. We don't want to do like, for example, the man who was out plowing in the cornfield, and he suddenly stopped and he went to a minister in the neighborhood and he said, sir, he said, God wants me to be a preacher, for I saw a clear vision in the heavens with the letters PC, which stand for Preach Christ. And the minister, a very wise man, said, brother, you are mistaken. Those words, those letters do not stand for preach Christ, but rather for plow corn. Well, you and I want to be sure that that feeling that we have is one that truly comes from God, and that's exactly what God wants us to do. So we need others. We need others to confirm that desire. And that's where your professors at the seminary play a very important part. Because, you see, as they lead you through the academic disciplines that are necessary in preparation for the Holy Ministry, as they watch how you handle practical experience out in the field, as they evaluate you emotionally and psychologically, they reassure you that that is exactly what God had in mind for you. And you see, that's a very important thing for our church, that we are very careful about those who enter the office of the Holy Ministry. Because the people of God in the church have every right to expect and to know that those pastors who come out to serve them are fully qualified, capable, and able. Tonight, all of these things are blended together. Tonight, you find yourself here because you have felt that inner desire that God wanted you to serve in the office of the ministry. At the same time, your professors have confirmed that desire. They have stated that now you have finished those academic requirements. Now you have finished that practical experience that was required. They have evaluated you emotionally and psychologically, and they have declared you to be fit for the Holy Ministry. And they have a responsibility in that, even as the whole church does. Because, you see, one of the main reasons why our church body is as strong as it is because we are so careful in the preparation of those men who will serve in the office of the Holy Ministry. For you young men are men who are going out to be entrusted with the flock of Jesus Christ. And as such, you need to be fully qualified and prepared in order to do that effectively and efficiently and to the glory of God. That's why it is so important that we have this particular situation where we very carefully evaluate our young men. Maybe at this point I'd like to add a word, maybe of warning, and that is that you don't take that assumption that you think that now, after all these years of study, that really you've done everything you need as far as your continuing education is concerned. Because you see, that's a very easy thing to do. When you think back of all these years in which you've been studying the Scriptures and the Lutheran Confessions as a correct exposition of those Scriptures, you might very well come to the feeling, well, now I have established a good foundation, and I really don't need to build any further on it. And when you get out into ministry, you're going to find that there are so many things to do that you might be tempted just to become involved in all kinds of busy activities without continuing to build on that foundation. Don't make that mistake. I know that some of it is going to come almost automatically as you prepare for sermons and for Bible classes, as you prepare papers for circuit and pastor and district pastoral conferences, as you read those theological journals that come across your desk. And some of you are going to take advantage of the seminary that may be nearby or some other university for some more formal education. All of that is very critical. Once long ago, Martin Luther said, "Here I stand," as he stood solidly on the Holy Scriptures. It is our prayer that none of you young men will say, "Here we drift," as you drift hopelessly back and forth, tossed this way and that by every little thing that comes up. But instead, be firmly rooted and grounded in those Holy Scriptures. Because you see, you're going to face problems and you're going to face difficulties out there in this world of ours, in your ministry. And they're not always going to be easy ones. There's going to be the ecumenical openness, joint worship and work that's continually going to challenge you. There's going to be such things as secularism, as liberation theology, the influence of the moral majority. There will be all kinds of things like this and many more that are going to confront you. And you need to be aware of them. You need to know what they are. You need to know what the Scripture has to say so that as faithful pastors of God, you can lead your flock adequately and faithfully on the road that God wants them to walk, that will lead them unerringly to eternal life with Him in the glories of heaven. Ministry is indeed a gift from God, but ministry is also a joy from God. And one of the passages that immediately come to mind when we think of ministry as a joy from God comes to us out of the letter of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2, where we are directed to look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand at the throne of God. This Jesus, because He recognized the great and wonderful joy that was going to be His as He accomplished the redemption and salvation of all mankind, was willing to endure all the suffering that was necessary in order to accomplish it. And it is this Jesus who gives us promises such as these. When He says in His holy word, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you and that your joy may be full." And again, "My joy no one will take from you." It is this kind of joy that you will experience in ministry. The kind of joy of bringing a lost soul to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The joy of knowing that you have been called into the kingdom of God and given a special privilege to be a pastor in His kingdom. The joy of working and living in the presence of your Lord and Savior. And the joy of knowing that one day yours will be an eternal joy in heaven. And it is indeed comforting to know what God requires of us as His pastors. In one sense, it's very simple, and in another sense, it's very difficult. Because what He requires of pastors is that they are to be found faithful. That doesn't mean that you always have to make the headlines. It doesn't mean that you always have to be successful in every undertaking that you embark on. What it does mean, however, is that you quietly do your work day by day. It does mean that you recognize that you are but a human sinful being called by God into this high and holy office. It does mean that you recognize that your ministry is indeed a gift from God and a joy from God. Let me then just add a few more words by way of encouragement to you. One of the things that you certainly will want to do in addition to continuing your education, as I mentioned a few moments ago, is to develop a very wholesome, positive attitude toward life and ministry. When I was in the parish and had the privilege of teaching children in confirmation class, I always like to remind them that they had two options in life. Very simple options. One was that they could be happy, and the other is that they could be sad. And I simply ask them the question, if you have a choice of being happy or sad, who in the world wants to be sad? And in essence, you pastors also have that same option in life. You have an option of either being happy or sad in your ministry, and if you have that choice, who in the world wants to be sad? Besides, what kind of a pastor would you be? What kind of a representative for Jesus Christ would you be if you always went about with a long face? What kind of pastor would you be if you were not happy in your work? If you did not go about with a smile on your face? If you were not friendly to people, courteous to them, concerned about other people? What kind of an example would you make for those who look to you to be a spiritual leader in the church so that they too might emulate your example? That's why we can never underscore enough the tremendous importance of your developing a wholesome, happy, positive attitude toward life and ministry. It is indeed critical so that you might truly show all the world what a great and a wonderful privilege is yours as granted to you by your Lord and by your God. And then do not forget to visit people. You've often heard that old saying that a home-visiting pastor makes a church-going congregation. I had to smile a little bit when I read over my address after my secretary typed it for me, and she wrote in the little word, amen, after that statement, as she agreed wholeheartedly with me. And that's something we must never forget, and that is that we need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ also on a personal, one-to-one basis. Don't make the mistake of thinking that you can sit back in your study and prepare very diligently and expect that on Sunday morning people are just going to flock to hear the marvelous message that you will have to proclaim. Some will, but many others will not. But they will come if you go out and visit them. They will come if you invite them, if you show your concern for them, if you share with them the great love that Jesus Christ has for them and for you. Yes, ministry is indeed a great gift and a great joy. You know that, and that's why you're here this evening. That's why you are here ready to embark upon that office of the holy ministry. Your Lord has touched you on your shoulder and has called you to be his servant. Did you feel his touch? Your Lord has touched your heart with his love and with his truth. Did you hear his word? I'm sure you did, because otherwise you wouldn't be here this evening. You wouldn't be here ready to go out into the office of the holy ministry. And so my prayer for you, as you leave these hallowed halls of this seminary, as you go out into those parishes and places to which you have been assigned and called, or as you continue your studies in the church, my prayer for you is that God will fill you with thankful hearts to know his will, that you will be filled with a special measure of his Holy Spirit, that you will have a clear vision of the crucified and resurrected Christ, that you might be free from all such thoughts as personal aggrandizement and those things that were intended only to raise your own self-esteem, that you might be free from selfish desires to try to control the lives of other people, that you might be free from little faith and weak courage, and all the other things that might distract you from the high calling that is yours in Christ Jesus. That you might know the joy of being small followers of a great Lord. That you might know the excitement of ministry in God's church and also in your own church body, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. That you might know peace in the suffering and crucified Savior and in the fact that he rose again for you and for me. That you might find the greatest joy and happiness always in serving your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in that high and holy calling in the office of the Holy Ministry. Amen.
Will the candidates in the colloquy program please rise and come forward? Mr. President, I present to you the students who have completed the requirements set forth by the Board of Colloquy for the Pastoral Ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Dr. Schultz, the faculty, and I are happy to recognize these men on the completion of their work. I now authorize you to present them with the certificate which attests to their accomplishments. Walter E. Byerly. Gary Julius Carston. Robert Davies Crossan. Timothy John Dinger. Paul Herbert Koshman. John Robert Lohman. Delton L. Knack. Frederick A. Radke. Kenneth Wayne Shaman. Martin Gustav Schramm. Stephen Charles Vaught. Orville Clyde Walt. Stephen Washington. Russell John Wise. And in absentia, the following certificates will be awarded: Erlen Herbert Asmus, Daniel Wayne Critchett, Vernon Fred Ermeling, Robert Felix Gonzalez, Neil Arnold Grayton, James Alvin Lang, Fred Langlois, Dennis William Lindemann, Donald G. Miles, Gregory A. Peters, Leroy Henry Prawley, Walter Theodore Reese, Robert Terry Ross, George Delano Chessel, Roger D. Chapman,
George Robert Jurek, Martin Leon Slusman, and John Arthur Seatlock, Sr.
Mr. President, I have the honor to present the candidates for the degree of Master of Arts in Religion. Will they please come forward? President, these persons have fulfilled all the requirements prescribed by the faculty and have been recommended as worthy of the degree of Master of Arts in Religion.
By virtue of the authority committed to me through the charter granted to Concordia Seminary and through the action of its faculty and board of control, I herewith confer upon these candidates the degree of Master of Arts in Religion and declare them entitled to all of its attendant rights and privileges. I now authorize you, Dr. Klotz, to present the diplomas to the candidates after the marshal has invested them.
Charles Joyce D. Arsenal. Lorraine Elizabeth Gross. Wanda Laura Silfla. Two of the degrees are being conferred in absentia, Teddy Max Fetcher and Joseph Chu.
Mr. President, I present the candidates for the degree of Master of Divinity. Will they please come forward? Mr. President, these candidates have fulfilled all the requirements prescribed by the faculty and have been recommended as worthy of the degree of Master of Divinity.
By virtue of the authority committed to me through the charter granted to Concordia Seminary and through the action of its faculty and board of control, I herewith confer upon these candidates the degree of Master of Divinity and declare them entitled to all of its attendant rights and privileges. I now authorize you, Dr. Herbert, to present the diplomas to the candidates after the marshal has invested them.
David Lee Adams. William Stephen Allison. Neil Edgar Anderson. Robert Otto Barth, Jr. Frederick William Bowie. Stephen Martin Bauer. James Anil Benke. Terry Dean Bell. Wayne A. Bernal. David Wayne Blair. Ralph Blumenberg. Christopher Brandt. Robert Glenn Bugby. Mark Paul Bussert. Louis Ken Cobb. Mark Lee Darnstedt. Wayne Douglas J.
Decker. Paul Mark Doberstein. Edwin E. Doppel, Jr. Douglas William Dahmer. Craig Allen Dubois. Dean Arthur Dummer. Stephen M. Eggers. Robert E. Eichmann, Jr. Kevin Paul Elserode. Kenneth E. Ferber. Edwin Martin Foster. Charles Anderson Fox. Clifford Martin Frederick. Orville Eugene Goldsby. Thomas T. Goodmanson. David Edward Gunderson. David Lee Hansen. Carl Robert Hedberg. James George Heinbuch. Raymond Victor Hendrickson. Ernest Joseph Pink. Stephen H. Hensley. Chris Nelson Hinkle. John C. Hurst. Mark Allen Hump. Gerald Edward Howland. David Lee Hudson. Mark Warren Roland Yeager. Alan W. Janicki. Terry John Jope. Chris Emery Johnson. Lee Daniel Johnson. Richard Allen Jordan. John Paul Yedis. Walter Arthur Keller. Danny R. Cook. Victor John Coleman. Alan Wayne Korinick. Michael A. Cushman. James William Kress. Daniel Lee Krieger. Rossiter Taylor Levitt. David Allen Leland. Kenneth David Lukey. Richard Lee Maddox. Daniel Thomas McDougall. Rocky Wayne Meek. Paul Ernst Meyer.
Timothy Paul Miller. David L. Mueller. David Paul Mum. Glenn Allen Nielsen. Richard Mayer Olson. Chris Dwayne Ungstad. John Darrell Pavel. David Charles Pelsu. Kevin T. Pope. William Paul Reister. Kenneth H. Roberts. Larry Judson Rodenzel. Richard Samuel Rogers III. Gary Lee Rokenbroke. Darrell Eugene Rawlings. Mark Luther Salas. Leon E. Savage. David L. Sawhill. Stephen Robert Schauder. Carl Warren Schneider. David G. Chesow. Jeffrey Scott Schubert. Mark Timothy Schuler. Paul Clay Sizemore. Richard Kevin Smith. Richard Headley Snyder. Robert C. Steinborn. Dale David Sveum. Stephen Carl Tice. Terry Lee Tice. David L. Thiel. Russell Wayne Keaton. Jonathan B. Trinkline. Larry M. Vogel. Robert Kenneth Wall. Paul A. Warnier. James Carter Watson. Randall Lee Weintau. Daniel Dale White. Mark Paul Winger. Mark Albert Westling. Mark Stewart Willig. Emil A. Witsy. John Clarence Wohlrabi, Jr. Ronald Adrian Youngdale. Mark Philip Zander. The following Master of Divinity degrees are awarded in absentia to Michael John Coppersmith, Eugene William Jurgensen, Rodney Wayne Pass, and Harold George Wagner.
President, I present the candidates for the degree of Master of Sacred Theology. Will they please come forward? Mr. President, these candidates have fulfilled all the requirements prescribed by the faculty and have been recommended as worthy of the degree of Master of Sacred Theology.
By virtue of the authority committed to me through the charter granted to Concordia Seminary and through the action of its faculty and board of control, I herewith confer upon these candidates the degree of Master of Sacred Theology and declare them entitled to all of its attendant rights and privileges. I now authorize you, Dr. Klotz, to present the diplomas to the candidates after the marshals have invested them.
Thomas Albert Baker. Myron F. Leifer. Arthur Randy Rommiller. Mark Edward Wanger. Following degrees are conferred in absentia: Paulo Willie Voss, Paulo Frederico Floor, Timothy H. Maskey, James Theodore Nickel, Dennis Paul Kiefelbein, Wilson Schultz, Wilhelm Stoll, and Yat Quang Wong. Mr. President, I have the further honor to present the candidates for the degree of Doctor of Theology. Will they please come forward? Mr. President, these candidates have fulfilled all the requirements prescribed by the faculty and have been recommended as worthy of the degree of Doctor of Theology.
By virtue of the authority committed to me through the charter granted to Concordia Seminary and through the action of its faculty and board of control, I herewith confer upon these candidates the degree of Doctor of Theology and declare them entitled to all of its attendant rights and privileges. I authorize you, Dr. Klotz, to present the diplomas to the candidates after the marshals have invested them.
Richard Paul Belcher. Paul E. Dieterding. Jonathan Frederick Grosey. A.R. Victor Rod.
Mr. President, I present the candidate for the honor of the Christus David Award. Will Dr. Fried Mortensen please come front and center? Let me read the citation which is on your program. The word laity carries extra weight in the realm of God's grace, for it retains within itself the biblical term laos, which is used of God's very own people. It is a rare privilege, therefore, to recognize the services of one of our church's outstanding laypersons by granting the Christus David Award to Fried Mortensen. In his profession, Dr. Mortensen is best known as an internist, a cardiologist, and an instructor in medicine at Washington University. Besides belonging to various medical societies, he serves on the St. Louis Board of Retarded Children. In the instance of Concordia Seminary itself, Dr. Mortensen has given unstintingly of his time and services since his appointment in 1974 as seminary physician. Throughout his career, he has been a deeply committed and active member of the Lutheran congregations to which he has belonged. To Synod's life and thought, he has made such contributions as being a member of the Social Welfare Committee and serving on the Commission on Theology and Church Relations and its subsidiary, the Social Concerns Committee. In these capacities, he was instrumental in shaping our Synod's stance on a number of key ethical and social issues. After the 1973 Synodical Convention, he assisted the Synod's Board for Missions in restructuring the Christian Medical Council. The faculty of Concordia Seminary deems it an honor to bestow on Dr. Fried Mortensen its Christus David Award. It does so mindful of the fact that as both a Christian and a physician, he stands in succession to one who is referred to in the New Testament as the beloved physician. To him apply the words from one of the lections for the day of St. Luke the Evangelist, quote, "Honor the physician with the respect due to him, according to your need of him, for healing comes from the Lord Most High." Ecclesiasticus 38, 1 and 2.
The Christus Vivit Award is conferred by Concordia Seminary upon Christians from all over the world who have been distinguished in some special way in the exercise of their callings on behalf of our Lord Jesus Christ and His Church. The title of the award and the design of the medallion reflect the ideal of the Christian life, namely that Christ dwells in us. Based on the words of Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." It gives me a great pleasure to present this distinguished award on behalf of the faculty of Concordia Seminary to my distinguished friend and brother, Dr. Fred Mortensen.
Dear friends of Concordia Seminary, the Board of Control and faculty of Concordia Seminary join me in welcoming all of you to our commencement exercises this evening. We're delighted that so many families and friends of our graduates, as well as friends and supporters of the seminary, could be with us on this happy occasion in the lives of those who have graduated and been honored this evening. We are particularly grateful to President Alvin Coleman for his inspiring message this evening, and to Dr. Richard Schultz for his stirring sermon in this morning's service. We have one special guest of the faculty with us this evening, whom I deem it a distinct honor to welcome, a great friend of the seminary and of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Dr. Hans Kirsten, the former president of our partner church in Germany, and a lifelong friend of all of us. Dr. Kirsten, would you please stand and be recognized? I hope that you will convey our greetings to our sister institution, the Theologische Hochschule in Oberursel, to President Russ, and to all of the members of our partner church, the Selbstständige Evangelische Lutherische Kirche in Germany. This evening, as we officially close the seminary's 142nd academic year, it is fitting that we pause briefly to recognize and remember some of its highlights, particularly those that pertain to the people of Concordia Seminary. It was this year, for example, that our steadily increasing enrollment surpassed 700 students, thereby making us once again the largest Lutheran seminary in North America. It was this year that we saw the successful completion of our Forward Fund efforts, which resulted in gifts from our loyal friends and supporters throughout the Synod of nearly $2.5 million to enable the seminary to remodel Steckhardt Hall, to renovate the Lober Student Center, to refurbish the chapel, to provide additional student aid funds, and to assist in meeting the rising cost of operating our institution. It was this year that the Lord of the Church called to himself in heaven 4 members of our campus community, all within the space of 3 weeks. Students Norman Marilla and Marlon Kirkman, our beloved professor of historical theology and missions, Dr. Roy Schulflow, and our former business manager, Mr. Alvar P. Lindgren. Their deaths have touched us all very deeply, and our sense of loss continues. But we have learned anew through the passing of these brethren the comfort of the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pause again this evening to praise and thank him that even now our departed brethren rejoice with him in glory. This was the last year of service on the faculty and staff of 3 colleagues. Dr. Frederick Harm, who accepted a call to Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Des Plaines, Illinois. For Lorraine Essela, seminary nurse, who joined her husband in retirement in Florida. And for Mr. Walter Umbach, our director of publications, who now intends to pursue his colloquy studies on a full-time basis. This year also marks the final year of service on our Board of Control of 2 of its most faithful and beloved members, the first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Dr. Edwin C. Weber, who is retiring, and Mr. Charles Burmeister, its treasurer. Their years of faithful service and dedication have meant much to this institution and the church it serves. This year also marks the retirement from full-time service of one of the seminary's most distinguished professors in its long history, Dr. Martin Charlemagne. I would like to pause and ask Martin to step forward. Dr. Charlemagne has served on the faculty of the seminary since 1952 and has held various administrative posts as well, including his important service as acting president during the most critical period of its 142-year history following the exodus of 1974. He has had an outstanding career as scholar, teacher, churchman, military chaplain, but I venture to guess that he will be remembered most by those who worked with him and learned from him as professor and teacher of theology. At this time, I should like to present a small token of our appreciation and good wishes to you, Martin, and as I do so, I would like to read the letter that accompanies it. Dear Martin, on behalf of Concordia Seminary, I am honored to present you with the enclosed check as a small token of our appreciation, love, and esteem as we mark your retirement from full-time professional service in the Lord's kingdom. Without a doubt, you have been one of God's most precious gifts to Concordia Seminary and to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Your many abilities as teacher, counselor, scholar, and administrator have been combined with a strong commitment to confessional Lutheranism and outstanding gifts of leadership. Your many contributions to the seminary and the church it serves are only a part of the contribution you have made, for your service to our nation has also been exemplary. Concordia Seminary is fortunate to have been the primary place of your ministry for so many years. We are delighted that you will continue to assist us in the classroom from time to time and in other ways, and that you and Dorothy will continue to be with us in the many activities of the Concordia community. I know that I speak for all of us at the seminary, the faculty, the staff, the students, and the board, in wishing you and Dorothy every happiness and God's richest blessing. We will also remember this past year as a time when a number of new persons joined the faculty and staff of the seminary. Pastor Emmanuel Jansen as Vice President for Seminary Relations, Mr. Thomas Manson, Athletic Director and Assistant Dean of Student Life, Pastor Richard Benke, Admissions Counselor, Betty Ann Maxted, Seminary Nurse, and Dale Meyer, Assistant Professor of Exegetical and Practical Theology. As we praise and thank God for sending these faithful servants to serve the seminary, we also pray his blessings upon the two professors, Paul Schreiber and Jonathan Grothy, who will be joining the faculty in July, as well as those who are currently considering calls to the seminary faculty. And at this time, I would publicly pay special tribute not only to the new members of the faculty, but to our entire faculty for its dedication to its high calling. You are indeed, my colleagues, a special gift to the church. Although there have many highlights in any given year, and we could obviously go on, and you could add to the list, the real work of Concordia Seminary cannot be measured only by its highlights, but must rather be seen in the day-to-day life of the seminary, lived out under the Holy Spirit, nurturing us by the gospel and sacrament, teaching us the word of God, and helping us all to share God's good gifts as we live and work together as a community of faith and learning. For those who graduate this evening, this past year will always be one of special significance, just as it has been for the faculty. For you have been faithful and dedicated, a strong and positive force in the community life we have enjoyed together. On this occasion, I would also pay special tribute not only to all of you in the class, but in a special way to your Student Association President, Ralph Blumenberg, and his colleagues in the Student Administration for the outstanding contributions all of you have made to our life together this past year. For you graduates of 1981, it is my prayer that your loyalty to God's Word, your dedication to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and your passion for bringing the good news to those who sit in darkness, all of them qualities you have demonstrated during your studies at the seminary, will continue to characterize your ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. For the church body you will be serving needs the finest in pastoral leadership and dedication, as you and your people together confront the forces of secularism and subjectivism and legalism and indifference, both within and without the church. The faculty and I not only urge your faithful perseverance, but pray God's abundant blessings upon you as you now go forth to be heralds of the good news, with the prayer that the Lord of the church will continue to extend his manifold but undeserved blessings upon us all, and especially upon the ministry of the gospel which we carry out in obedience to him in our various places. I herewith officially close the 142nd academic year of Concordia Seminary in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. In power and glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.